Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Cryptoconomy Podcast. Today's been a little busy and all over the place, so I've been trying to work out stuff with pet boarding for the weekend, and so I am going to do a quick one because I've also had really bad sound quality. You might hear a little bit in the background. We've got another hurricane hitting us right now, but I've got a break in the wind and the rain that I think is supposed to last hopefully long enough to get this episode done, and so I won't be doing nearly as much editing or fixing as I usually do, but we are going to hit one. I wanted to talk about, yes, I got an email, thank you, wanted to talk about the Liquid Network. There's a lot of criticisms going around. I'm crazy excited about this because I think sidechains actually have, like, trust-minimized sidechains, like, particularly in, like, business or federations of sort, I think will have a huge use case in the infrastructure going forward. And well, I don't want to go too deep into the weeds on kind of my opinion on this, because right now I actually want to spend a couple episodes, maybe today and tomorrow, just going into the Liquid Network and how it works. And I might just be reading, I'll definitely be reading off of the Blockstream blog. This one, today we'll just read about the launch of it, and I'll kind of talk about it in, at least give my view of it and why I think it's important, or will be really exciting going forward, like it's a huge innovation in the space. And then we'll go into more of the technical details about the level of decentralization, its federated system, and just details on how it accomplishes what it does, and what are its trust arrangements exactly. So without further ado, we're going to hit the launch post right now. This is on blockstream.com. It's just on their blog. It was posted yesterday, October 10th. I believe today is the 11th. That is right. It was posted yesterday, and it's written by Samson Mao, titled "The Launch of the Liquid Network." We are excited to announce that the Liquid Network is now live. As the world's first production Bitcoin sidechain, the Liquid Network provides fast, secure, and confidential transactions to address the needs of exchanges, brokers, market makers, and financial institutions around the world. The Liquid blockchain went live with the first block generated on September 27, 2018 at 129 UTC. 23 of the cryptocurrency industry's biggest players participated in the launch as Liquid members, including Altonomy, Atlantic Financial, Bitbank, Bitfinex, Bitmax, Bitmex, Bitso, BTC Box, BTSE, Bull Exchange, D Group, CoinOne, Crypto Garage, GoPax, operated by Streamy, Corbit, L2B Global, OKCoin, The Rock Trading, Six Digital Exchange, UnoCoin, Zappo, XBTO, and Zafe. Together, these members comprise the Liquid Network, ensuring users' assets are protected through a geographically diverse network with no single point of failure. Liquid is an innovative sidechain built on the Bitcoin network, facilitating faster Bitcoin transactions between businesses and individuals while enabling extended functionality. Some of the features of Liquid include Liquid's native Liquid Bitcoin, or LBTC asset, is backed by a two-way peg to Bitcoin and can be redeemed at any time, providing institutions and end users with a secure and rapid way to transfer Bitcoin between members with a full settlement in 2 minutes. Liquid's issued assets brings Bitcoin-like features to traditional assets, such as tokenized fiat, digital reward points, and attested assets, for example, gold coins, removing the need for dedicated blockchains or wallet software. Blockstream's confidential transaction technology ensures that the amount and asset type transferred are known only to the transacting parties, enhancing the privacy of both LBTC and issued asset transactions. The success of the launch is the result of coordinated efforts of the Liquid Network's members and represents just the beginning, with numerous features and applications in the works to expand participation. These features include Green Address wallet integration, an all-new open-source Liquid wallet client, and plans for third-party hardware wallet support from Ledger and Trezor. In addition to the enhancements to Bitcoin's functionality, the launch of the Liquid Network marks the beginning of a new era of digital asset issuance and transacting by enabling the tokenization of fiat, gold, securities, and even other new crypto assets, all with Bitcoin at the center. If you would like to learn more about the Liquid Network and how it works, please visit here or read the FAQ page. All right, and that is the full blog post. So it was a really short and sweet, basically just announcement on the Liquid Network launch. I definitely encourage you to go to the Liquid FAQ, and we will be reading the paper way back from January 16th. Let's make sure I haven't done this on the podcast, but I wanted to read Strong Federations, Foundation of Liquid, and White Paper Released. I'm currently just kind of skimming through the Strong Federations paper. So when I read that in full, I may actually grab some snippets from it just for the discussion on it. But I also want to read, make a couple of comments. There's a really good Twitter thread. It's short. It's like four or five comments. So didn't kind of work well as a quick read all on its own. But it had some really good points about the Lightning Network that I think will lead in really well. Excuse me, God, I keep calling it Lightning. The Liquid Network that will lead in really well to tomorrow's episode on the Blockstream blog and points that I'll be pulling from other work. So this is just kind of, think of this as like a precursor to kind of the big picture of what's going on with Liquid. All right, so this tweet thread is by Lucas Nuzzi, and that's his Twitter tag as well, so it's LucasNuzzi, and we'll just go ahead and jump into his tweets and then kind of talk about this whole thing afterward. Don't underestimate Blockstream's Liquid Network sidechain launch. It's kind of a big deal. I get it. Federated round-robin consensus doesn't sound appealing, but it's a start. The implications of usable sidechains are huge, and the positives certainly outweigh the negatives. First of all, exchanges, custodians, and Bitcoin businesses have a lot to gain from a private sidechain, just for the sake of how much downward price manipulation comes from front-running, unprocessed transactions in the mempool. But to me, this is the boring side of Liquid. Liquid is great because it will enable developers to test a lot of cutting-edge Bitcoin tech, especially for privacy in a financially incentivized network. We need more devs playing around with confidential transaction schemes and improving Boramine SIGs and Bulletproofs, not just MRL and XMR Core. It may also enable instant access to Lightning channels at some point, so that users don't have to wait for the next block to confirm in order to get in. This makes much more sense than cross-chain atomic swaps, and the folks at Litecoin will have to change their narrative. Following a federated consensus approach was the easiest way to deploy Liquid, but its consensus could change in the future. It's early, but one could envision sidechains being mined through non-interactive proofs of proof of work. Nipopow. Wishful thinking, but this is a start. Okay, so that's the whole tweet thread. But the sidechain idea is a perfect example of the Bitcoin as a court system, as a independent financial court. where everything can, it's so hard to explain, like give an analogy of why this is so important, because it's like having financial agreements that always have one foot, like they always have like a toe in this public blockchain that people can exit the agreement with you know, valid signatures and a pre-set up relationship or a set of conditions that were already in place to execute back to Bitcoin, back to the public means of value exchange. And Peter Van Valkenburg just did, the hearing was this morning, and if you haven't listened to it or read, I actually read his transcript first and then jumped to the video. I think the tab's still open over here. But the hearing that he and Rubini had at the Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee this morning, he gave a really good testimony before the committee on just kind of what Bitcoin was and emphasized it as a public infrastructure for payments and value exchange, which the internet is the public infrastructure and a public decentralized infrastructure for communication and publishing, essentially, and all of media. And that's a really interesting, I think that's a really important thing to focus on, is the fact that this is a no single point of failure public system, public network that anybody can use regardless of any arbitrary social differences or classifications. Anybody is completely open access. Anybody can use it. That's something that's deeply needed to prevent these huge, he talks about like the Equifax hack and all this stuff. Just go listen to it. It's really good. His initial speech, here, let me drop it here. It's somewhere right around 28 minutes is right when it starts, or 27:36. So I'll drop the link in the show notes so that you can check that out too. That initial speech that he gives is not very long. I'm not sure, it's like 8 or 9 minutes maybe, but it's really, really good. He has a lot of really great points about Bitcoin as a public infrastructure. And Liquid is a perfect example of how to use that trustless public infrastructure to create a very trust minimized relationship between businesses that give you a lot of features that cannot or should not, they run too much risk to put on the public blockchain. So Lucas's third tweet was that it will enable users to test, or developers to test, a lot of cutting-edge Bitcoin tech, especially privacy in a financially incentivized network. Like, that is one of the most exciting things about this, is that we can watch on the side chains and these other layers to see what's most used and play and test these things out for extended periods. Particularly things that we may want to one day enable at the core layer. Maybe there are improvements to these side chains that have huge implications on resource savings and signature aggregation or something like that, that we would want to put into the base layer and we can actually utilize and make use of in a trust-minimized way for years before ever needing to put it into the base layer. We can have a soft fork that's scheduled for 5 years out. You know, there's a bunch of different options there for making deployable production side chains available to groups of businesses that don't have to trust each other. It's in the post with the Blockstream, well, they trust each other to a certain degree, as long as they're they refer to a quorum of signatures, and that's just kind of the minimum amount needed to ensure the payment goes forward. And then there are also options of breaking the agreement and settling all back out to the chain whenever the entire Federation or a majority of the Federation becomes unreliable or untrustworthy. So it's a really interesting system, and it is far superior to the current systems of financial exchange settlement and brokerages. So this is not the level of decentralization as Bitcoin, and there's a lot of people like complaining. It's like, oh, centralized sidechain and everything, as if calling it not decentralized was like some criticism. But this is not, nobody ever made that claim. This is really, really old news as to the architecture of Liquid. I mean, the white paper is called Strong Federation, and it was released in January of last year, January 2017. So this has always been sold as a federated sidechain, but it's a far improved model to what we currently have to deal with financial institutions. It gives the user far, far more control, and it actually has fail-safes in place for when there is a complete failure of the Federation. You can still settle back to the parent chain. So it's important to note how that this is a huge improvement over current financial institutions, but more importantly, this is a huge improvement over what we currently now have to deal with on exchanges and brokerages in the Bitcoin space right now. Like, they are all custodial network systems. This would be a way for users to get onto Liquid and not have to worry about any single exchange having problems. It creates the sidechain architecture is in place of the individual private ledgers of these exchanges. The exchanges only have full control over the funds that are explicitly theirs. I think people are completely discounting the amount of control this gives back to the users over the grossly centralized. I mean, one broker just went down. The one broker just got shut down not too long ago. If they were on Liquid and people were holding their assets on Liquid, using them with that exchange, the only thing that would have been lost would have been the assets completely depended on by the broker. So one broker, I think, allowed you to do, I can't remember, it was like Apple stock, I think it's a bridge between, so you can spend your Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in the actual stock market. So they would still be completely on the hook for all of the financial side assets, but any cryptocurrency held with them, if they were using Liquid and so was the user, would still be accessible. So that's a huge improvement over what they have now, which is every user who was on one broker now just lost all of the coins that they had deposited, or until they open withdrawals and actually make it accessible again. So in Liquid, an exchange or a brokerage or any financial institution only has full control over the funds that are 100% theirs, or of course anything that exits, anything is not a crypto asset issued on Liquid, something that's in the legacy financial system. But that's the most exciting thing there, is that you can issue assets on Liquid. Liquid, introducing Liquid assets. I think we've talked about that on the podcast before. So they can issue gold certificates or stocks or securities or, God forbid, ICOs. Any of this can now be issued on Liquid in a group of a federated group of global financial participants. So it's a really, really exciting thing. There is a lot that can be built on top of this, and I think it will begin to show the power of sidechains and using Bitcoin as a end of the line, completely decentralized and trustless public resource for financial settlement through a network and tiers of sidechains and Lightning Network networks. It's just the number of layers that there could be on top of this thing is going to be really, really crazy. I think this is going to get big, quick as some of these things start to feel secure and robust and ready for high capacity use and issuance, and we have standards come about to reach in how to issue securities and assets and these other things on side chains and similar networks. And Lightning Network and Liquid Network both are ways to give users and customers and retail investors back that level of control, give them a way out when something goes wrong. And I think that's a massive improvement, even if it is a federation of servers, as opposed to a perfectly decentralized open public blockchain. That is perfectly okay. We will get there. There is still a lot of work to do. This is a great, great first step to trust minimize relationships in financial systems. A lot of people are really dismissing it. And the fact that Liquid Network might be able to be directly implemented with Lightning, so when you have assets on the Liquid chain, you can spend back to the Bitcoin blockchain and the Lightning Network, and that these things are all interoperable and can communicate with each other. The idea of not having to wait to set up your channels, that the assets that you already have somewhere are immediately spendable on Lightning, and you still gain the privacy. You have the ability to for confidential transactions in Liquid. The level of additional privacy and security, and the ability to still own or still have signature power over your funds in this system, I think is a huge, huge improvement. And I think it's getting crazy discounted just because it's a federation of stuff and people are arguing or complaining and screaming that it's not decentralized as if that's news. Blockstream never advertised this as anything but a strong federation, which is why they titled the paper Strong Federations. So that just seems so ridiculous to me that there are so many tweets about that. But whatever, you know, people will complain about whatever they want to complain about. More power to you. There was another comment by @notgrubles on Twitter, grabbed from the core Slack about the exchanges. I did not realize how much, I mean, it was a lot of exchanges, but there were a handful of big players that I noticed were not in there. So I wasn't sure how much of the exchange volume this was participating in the Liquid Network. But Adam Back said in the core Slack and @notgrubles, G-R-U-B-L-E-S, posted a screenshot from the core Slack of Adam Back, and quote, he said, "The participating exchanges add up to 50 to 60% of global Bitcoin volume, so it's enough for start," end quote. So this is huge. This is so much. More than half of the global Bitcoin volume is encompassed in this group of exchanges, and will now be completely accessible in a far faster way, with privacy built in to the actual side chain that they are using, and with users able to withdraw in the case of really bad scenarios or hacks taking place, and greatly minimizing the risk to the customer and other businesses involved, other exchanges and institutions involved with the exchange of digital assets. So I think this is a really, really huge deal, and it's super exciting to see this now production ready and out there in the market, so that we can see what these other institutions and the old Wall Street starting to dip their toes in the water, see what they do with in competition to networks like this, or do they jump on board and basically join the party, or do they keep complete custodial relationships that now have to compete with these trust minimized sidechain production sidechain options. So I think that's really, really exciting, and we'll go more into this tomorrow with the Blockstream blog post about strong federations, the foundation of Liquid, and I'll try to be ready with snippets from the Strong Federation white paper to kind of go into more detail. And we'll talk about all this tomorrow. It's really exciting stuff. Liquid is available, production ready, out in the wild. So this will be really fun to keep a close eye on to see how sidechains evolve moving forward. All right, guys. Do not forget to check out the actual Blockstream blog if you want to dig into it further. Like I said, there's the Liquid FAQ. They've got a number of different posts about it going into details. And like, while we'll cover a lot of it on the show, we obviously will not cover all of the information here on the Crypto Economy podcast. So definitely go check them out. Share it around on Twitter so everybody can get more details and stay up to that. Follow Blockstream. They are building some incredible stuff. So I think being up to date on what they are doing will be really important to have a real picture of what this ecosystem is looking like. So really, really cool stuff. Don't forget to follow Blockstream. I'm sure everybody already is, but you never know. And of course, actually follow Samson Mao. I forgot to mention, I think I did at the beginning, but I haven't said anything about it anymore. Samson Mao from Blockstream. I will link to his Twitter page so that you can follow him as well. He is the author of the launch of the Liquid Network. And Lucas Nuzzi, N-U-Z-Z-I. I will be sure to tag him in the post. Hopefully I said your name right. If you listen to this, if I butchered it, my bad, per usual. But with that, don't forget to follow the Crypto Economy podcast and me on Twitter, Medium, and BitcoinHackers.org Mastodon instance. I mean, you just get on any Mastodon and punch it in, but my link is right there in my Twitter profile. I am at the Crypto Economy on all of those platforms. And also, don't forget to check out CryptoEconomy.life, the website where I'm trying to put all of this information together and get it organized by topic and type so that you have a huge collection of audio content to learn about anything you want to learn about in Bitcoin. So I think this will be really exciting stuff, and I hope you guys check it out at cryptoeconomy.life. There's a whole lot more to come, so keep an eye out for it. And if you would like to support the show, you can find all those links and to buy your Trezor. My donation address, all of that stuff can be found on that website as well, or in the Twitter posts, in the show notes, so on and so forth. It's not hard to find my Bitcoin address if you're looking to donate, and it is a wonderful help. Thank you so much. It keeps my coffee mug full and keeps this show coming, keeps all this content rolling out. And if you can't or don't feel like contributing monetarily, but if you would like to support the show, just share it. Just share it out there. Tweet it, like it, put it on Instagram and Pinterest and all the social medias, Facebook. I hate Facebook, but I'm totally good with everybody posting it on Facebook. I just won't be up there. And get it out there. That's a huge, huge help to the show that only costs you, maybe a minute of your time. So thank you everyone who has done that. And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss all the cool stuff we have here at the Crypto Economy podcast. And I will catch you all later. Talk to you all tomorrow in another episode of the Crypto Economy podcast. Take it easy, guys.